What's up, guys? Life Abundantly, and I'm here with my friend Gio, and we're just going to be talking about random stuff, see where the conversation goes. So you have a lot of knowledge and a lot of good advice in dealing with people, like sociology, like the way you see people, observing people, and interacting with people and all that. So what would you, I'm kind of curious, like, what are some things that you've been learning or that you've learned about interacting, that because you're one of the most like joyful people to be around, like positive people. So
I'm not that positive. I'm kind of positive, but the main thing that I've been learning is like this whole, I guess I'm still stuck in podcasts and everything like that. And since I'm close to the Enneagram, I guess my wife shared this podcast that is called Typology, or that's the name of the podcast. And they're talking about the Enneagram and number sixes and all that. And it's really interesting because I'm hearing them go through the conversation and everything. And I would suggest, you know, kind of if anybody has a chance to kind of know their Enneagram or kind of know how they are in certain, I guess in certain situations, you're going to be a little bit more successful on how to manage your anger, manage your ability of kind of either, if you get upset very quickly, not get upset as quickly, or kind of put your emotions in check. Because what I've constantly seen as growing up is that emotions kind of take the best out of all of us, including myself. My emotions, I don't let them show very often, but it's one of those deals that I'm an extremely emotional person. When I get hurt, I don't visually seem like I'm hurt. I'm not like in a corner or kind of making it seem like, oh my God, I'm hurt. But my way that most of the time that I'm seeing on my person is that when I get hurt, I don't cry. I don't get, you know, like physically, emotionally, like, oh my God, something happened. But I do have an ability that once I feel hurt or whatever the case may be, I go hunch down to this whole thing called shop therapy. And it's one of those deals that a lot of times it kind of ends up getting the best of me, because then I create a whole bunch of chaos that's really not needed. And if I was able to kind of deal with my emotion at that one time being and everything, then I kind of see like I'm able to save like, you know, 3 or 4 hours in a going back and forth conversation between myself of what I could have done and how come I did this instead of that, or oh man, I just spent like X amount of cash and I shouldn't have spent this. But I honestly think that kind of dealing with those emotions and those things as they come will kind of make your life a little bit easier and stuff like that. But yeah, without kind of knowing the Enneagram and how you kind of behave to those kind of emotions, then it's kind of hard to kind of have a level or a guide or a set standard of where to kind of go from there on. But yeah, I would just kind of suggest people to kind of check that out and stuff like that. Yeah, like you've done your Enneagram test, like what do you think about yours and kind of how you've seen it relate to your last 2 weeks of, I guess this last 2 weeks at overall and stuff like that? Yeah,
so the Enneagram, let me remind me of I know I've done it before, but I remind me of what it is exactly.
It just kind of stipulates that certain people have certain personality traits, I guess you could say. I'm not an expert on it. It's one of those deals that I like to mess with it here and there. But it kind of says that certain individuals have a certain way of being when you're a 1, 2, or 3, or a 4. Right off the top of my head, I can't remember each one number what it is and their certain behaviors and whatnot. But definitely, I would encourage people to kind of check it out online. There's a whole bunch of like free tests that you could take and stuff like that will kind of give you a base idea of where you're at and stuff like that. And then basically listening to quite a bit of podcasts, because it's one of those deals that there's a few people that are very knowledgeable about it. Some of them are kind of like up in the air. But I do warn people to kind of say, hey, you know what? Just because you're a certain number or a certain being, please don't take it as, hey, you know what? I'm this number, therefore people got to deal with me because of this. No, that's going to be like your alarm to say, hey, you know what? There's this issue. This is my issue. I need to find a way of how to kind of address it or how to live with it, so that way it's not creating chaos in another side of my life or I'm becoming unhealthy in another sector of my life. But yeah, I just think it's a very important kind of knowing that, but not using it as well as a weapon to kind of stay there and kind of tell people, oh yeah, you know, I behave like this because I'm like this and whatnot. Because I've seen it being used already, and I've also seen it used on my own household as far as my own children and stuff like that. So it's one of those deals, just because one of my kids is very aggressive and kind of wants to fix everything on the fly, I gotta tell him, hey, you know what, slow it down, kind of take your time instead of trying to fix it on the fly. Because what happens with him is that he gets too anxious And basically it causes them to go back and forth, kind of debating, and not being able to accomplish as much. And then once he's not able to accomplish as much, then he kind of gets himself a hard time for not being able to accomplish as much, and it kind of starts this whole chaos of going back and forth with restless thoughts and everything. And it's one of those deals that I tell him, hey, you know what? Life is to be pretty complicated, but not that complicated. You just need to make it as calm as possible. The way I see it is treat yourself like water, you know? Make yourself as still as water as much as you can, and adapt to things as water adapts to different things that are happening in their environments or whatever it seems to be. Yeah.
Gotcha. So I had a curious question. So you have four kids, and and they're, you know, they're all different, right?
Oh, yeah.
How do you see, maybe you call them disabilities or weaknesses? Sometimes people that have certain mental struggles thrive in other areas, you know what I mean? Like, for example, people with autism sometimes are really musically gifted or whatever, but what has been your experience knowing that? I know you talk about like ADD a lot or ADHD a lot, so like, what are your thoughts on how your mental struggles or your mental health struggles, you know, actually serve you in a way, or your insecurities like serve you in a way, if that makes sense.
I think with that one's more of like with ADD and HD, well, I don't know how to explain it. I guess with that one's more of like, God, and I can't really remember right now at the top of my head, but it's one of those deals that it's stated that there's, I want to say, 7 different types of ADD, if I remember properly. And it's one of those deals that, God, we have a packet at home. I'll see if I could get the doctor's name. But he states that there's different types of ADD and all that, and they're triggered by different methods and different forms. In my opinion, once I was kind of, I was obsessed with it for a couple years ago, and it kind of seemed to me that each one individual struggles with some sort, way, shape of ADD. It's one of those deals that I think everybody struggles with that. And it's one of those deals, since ADD is kind of perceived as a really bad thing or not the greatest thing, or kind of makes it seem like, hey, you know what, if you have it, that means that there's something severely wrong, that you can't control yourself and whatnot. And I guess that's why people don't want to perceive it from a different ability or perceive it if they might have it. But it's one of those deals that in my situation, I've never been diagnosed with it. I don't even know if I have it. My kids have. But it's one of those deals that when I take a step back and I truly like try to put myself in certain situations that they kind of have had, or in certain situations that I've had in my life, I could really start seeing a little bit of those parts kind of coming through or shining through, as I might be having it, but not as strong as they are. But it's one of those things that I kind of think that we all struggle with something. It's just kind of being aware of it, so we're not being able to kind of take that information and see it from a negative spot. Like I was telling my wife, we're trying to rebuild our home, or we're trying to not necessarily rebuild, but we're trying to kind of add a couple rooms to the house and everything. And we're very much people that a lot of other people's words don't hurt us or anything like that. But since we barely finished doing the whole Dave Ramsey thing where we got out of debt, that was awesome. We paid off the school loans. Awesome, awesome. We got our 3 to 6 months saved. That was super awesome. And we have a little bit of extra cash that we're saying, hey, you know what? Let's see if we could add 3 rooms to our house, seeing how much it would cost and seeing what would happen. Since we know, and I know both the person that me and my wife have, I knew right off the bat, if somebody came to tell us, hey, you know what, to do these additions to the house, it's going to be like 30, 40 grand or whatever the case may be, and we have budgeted like maybe a quarter of that or maybe a little bit over, I knew right off the bat that it was going to be more of like, oh my God, if this individual comes and tells us that, is going to really hurt us emotionally in a bad way. Because as soon as we see that, we're going to perceive ourselves as, hey, you know what? We did Dave Ramsey. We got all this thing. But we're still kind of poor. And we're dead broke. And it's one of those deals that we're not poor. We're not dead broke. We have savings, but we don't have enough. But just the perception of us kind of self-victimizing ourselves and seeing what's going on, that we were like, you know, this could be very damaging if we don't get ready for these words or these things, because they might not mean it in that way, shape, or form, But I knew for a fact that me and her were, or both of us were going to take it in that shape or form. So what we did that week is we said, hey, you know what? Let's look at the house. Let's draw some measurements. Let's say what they're going to want to take out, what they're not going to want to take out, what's going to be expensive, what the cost might be. So that way, when we hear these things being said, we don't have that ability to take it the wrong way super quickly. We're able to kind of process that and then relate it back to when we're thinking about it a week past, when we kind of did that whole thing with looking at the house and everything. And once we kind of related that, we already talked about it and this guy already told us the same thing, we're not going to take it as personal, or we're not going to take it in a negative way to say, hey, you know what, this is crazy, we did this whole Dave Ramsey thing, it's not working, it never worked, because we were just being hurt. And in reality, it did work. It's been working awesome. It's just that we, a lot of times as humans, we want to run instead of actually, you know, taking that slow route towards it and stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Got you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting, man. So, like, I wanted to ask you this question too, is how you have an ability to interact with other people better than a lot of people I know. Like, you interact, you're even in groups, I feel like you thrive better than most people, because a lot of people have like social anxiety. Mm-hmm. You know, and not that there's anything, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that or whatever, I mean, it's something that you can overcome, but I'm just saying, like, you seem to be really good in group situations. You seem to be really good on one-on-one. And I was just curious, what advice would you say to somebody who's struggling with social anxiety, or even just struggling connecting with people and doesn't know how to, like, really connect with people? Not, and what I mean by connect with people is really get your, like, understand people, like, where they're coming from, have them understand your perspective, and just have a great conversation and just laugh. You're always laughing, you're always joking around, like, it's always just a pleasant conversation whenever I talk to you. So, like, how would you say you do that?
I would just say just being an active listener, I guess, just paying attention to what they're telling you and just kind of you know, putting your two cents in it, you know. And if you're struggling as far as just kind of not being social and whatnot at the current time, I would just suggest, hey, you know what, kind of see what's really triggering that emotion that you don't want to be social and whatnot, especially with this COVID thing. Yes, it's very hard to be social, especially now with COVID, but, you know, we still got the internet, we still got FaceTime, we got all these things, which is kind of funny, or at least I guess I'm using the wrong terms, funny, but I think it's amusing, or I don't even know the words to use, to be honest. But it's kind of awkward that before COVID, everybody was fine and dandy with FaceTiming, with Snapchats, but, like, you know, anything that had to do with communication via text, email, and whatnot, everybody was fine and dandy with doing that type of communication. And I find it awkward because now that we have to rely on this type of communication, now we're fighting it very hard to kind of not wanting to be with it and stuff like that. But I just wanted to touch on that because it's just the perception that we have as humans that we want something, but we're never going to get the full effect of it. But since we're not going to get the full effect, then we're going to want the opposite, and we're going to always kind of be teeter-tottering back and forth. And it's one of those deals that I see that, you know, kind of pioneering or kind of seeing what you want, working your way towards it in a calm, steady pace is always the best route. Because once you start going pretty fast and then you try to say, hey, you know what, I could do this, this, and this, then that's where your extra stress is coming live, and it kind of wears you down. But if you're not being very communicative and you're not being very social, just kind of see why, or ask yourself the questions, why aren't you being social? What's aching? What's hurting? What's creating that doubt, that fear? And, you know, how long has it been happening? Has it been a year, 2 years, 3 years, just the last few months? And if you have the ability to really have somebody that knows you that you could reach out to and kind of have this conversation with, that would be super awesome, because that would be super enlightening towards the individual and kind of getting them to see not necessarily the light, but kind of getting them to feel a lot better and kind of saying, hey, you know what? Things are not how you perceive them to be. It's just that sometimes we want to perceive things the wrong way, and we just want to kind of stay down in that ability because we don't want to cause somebody else to be hurt, or we don't want anybody else to be saddened through our sadness or whatever. When in reality, a lot of the times, that's not how it's going to be happening or how it's being portrayed. But if we keep on putting ourselves in that perspective, then we're never going to really feel not necessarily accomplished or whole, but we're not really going to feel very happy to go and mingle with everybody else, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, man. So ask yourself why. Ask yourself why you're not being social, and then have that deep, that conversation with people that are close to you, or a few people maybe, or one person that's close to you, and just ask them, like, what have you noticed and with me, and kind of ask them some questions about why, what they've observed from you.
Yeah, and like I said, a lot of times, you know, it's hard and it's very difficult, because a lot of times the first thing that a lot of people say is, well, I don't have a friend like that, or I don't have a connection like that, you know. And it's very difficult, I understand. And a lot of times when I tell people, it's like, hey, you know what? Look for a support group. Look for somebody to talk to. Or, you know, if you feel really lonely, you know, talk to a psychiatrist or something like that. You know, right now they have so many apps that you could do it either through the phone, through an app, to help you kind of unload all this baggage. Because right now with COVID and all these things that are happening, oh, it gets very depressing. It gets sad. It gets very uncomfortable, you know, even for myself, that I'm always seeing happy, perky, and everything. There are times where I'm like, oh man, dude, you know what? I want to get some tacos, you know, and next, you know, I'm saddened because I'm like, oh man, well, I can't get this and I can't get that. And then I do a great job of throwing myself a pity party, and I'm like, well, since I can't get tacos, well, let's do this instead. And then since I can't do this, and, you know, I see myself throwing these pity parties around for my own self for constant various things. And, that's where I'm very thankful that I'm able to kind of pause, step back, and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I should kind of go do this or think about it from a different perspective. Because now is I'm just victimizing myself, trying to say whatever or make me feel better at the first reaction. And I don't even remember what podcast I heard it, but I heard it somewhere. And I want to say it's a Dave Ramsey one, is that children are based on emotions or something like that, and adults, I guess, make decisions. Oh no, children do what makes them feel good, adults make decisions, or something along those ways. But it's one of those deals that for some reason that kind of resonates, and I don't know why I don't have it really memorized, but somehow I guess it kind of somehow I adapted it to it. But somehow every time that I have an issue where I want something so bad, then I'm going to get something else, then it kind of gives me that ability to slow down and say, hey, you know what? Do I really want this? Do I really not? Or what do I do? And stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, I have another question. I saw like pain in somebody's eyes. Like maybe I just haven't been aware, but I try to look people in the eyes, but I've just been more observant lately. And I just saw this pain in somebody's eyes, and then I saw him like get mad later. And I was just curious, you have that practice of just observing people more and like discerning and just learning, you know, hearing people, listening and all that. So like, do you see the pain in people's eyes? And if so, like, can you tell me more about that, how the eyes really communicate more than any other part of the body? Because I've felt like that I mean, I found that to be kind of true. But what do you think about that?
Well, I think I heard a quote saying that your eyes are the doorway to your soul, I guess. But yeah, I could totally see that, you know. You could see anger, you could see excitement, you could see so many different things through just how people are looking at you, or their facial expression, especially with their eyes and everything, you know. You could even tell when people are lying to you just by where they're looking and everything. But it's one of those things that as far as for pain and everything like that, it's a good part to be able to say, hey, you know what, I could feel your pain and I see where your perspective and everything. But it's one of those deals that I tell people that just kind of tread carefully with it, because it's one of those deals that unconsciously we want to help that individual out, or we want to do something when we're seeing somebody being in extreme pains and extreme things happening. But then it's very difficult because then we fall into that pattern of codependency, I guess you could say, because then we want to go out of our way to kind of really help this individual out or go above and beyond. And by all means, I'm not saying that don't do it or whatever. By all means, I'm saying, hey, you know what? Sometimes if you have the ability, that's awesome. That's great. But sometimes if you don't have that ability and you're struggling yourself and you're having issues yourself, I would greatly suggest, hey, you know what? Work on yourself first or anything else before trying to help another person out, because all it's going to do is basically going to create a lot of turmoil on your life and a lot of stress in your life that it's going to very impact you in a negative way to... Not necessarily it's going to soil your friendship with the person or whatnot, but there might be a point where you're like, oh man, I don't really want to talk to this guy or whatever the case may be, because anytime I talk to him, it's like, it's always the same thing. There's always this issue, this issue, this issue. And I helped him out last time and he didn't learn his lesson and it's back over again. I know, because I've had this situation play out in my own personal life, and it kind of sucks because the individual, you know, yeah, you know, he did it again, whatever the case may be. And it's like, well, in retrospect, should I really be focusing all my strength to kind of helping this individual out? Or is my job at this current time or this season just to be an active listener to that friend? Not necessarily to do much of anything or to do anything, but just to be an active listener, because I, in my own life at that time being, oh man, my life was chaos. And then trying to help him out was bringing in more chaos in my life. And then it was also separating from my spouse, my kids, because they would just see it's like, dad, why are you trying to be overgoing where somebody you don't even know and you're not even here at home taking care of us? And you know, it brings everything into a craziness that nobody really expects. But it's one of those things that I would say, hey, you know what? Always try to approach the situation where you see the pain, you want to empathize with the person and everything. You want to show them that active listening part of it and be empathizing and say, hey, you know what? This, I see you, your point and whatnot. But like I said, don't try to get yourself super engulfed in helping and everything like that unless you have the ability, you have the time, you have the willingness to do it. Because a lot of times when you don't, it's a real quick way that it will deplete your love tank, it will deplete your energy, anything. And it's one of those deals that I tell people, just be cautious with that, because it's one of those deals that people can do it, but it's just one of those deals that as humans, we're not very honest with ourselves and saying, hey, you know what? I could do it this time, but I can't do it that time. And it's one of those deals that added with codependency, you kind of want to help everybody out. I struggle with that personally throughout my whole life. And doing pools is a great example, because I want to help everybody out. I want to help all my customers out. They're great. They're awesome. But then throughout me doing all these pulls that I was doing an exceptional job, then I will see a customer taking advantage of the situation, then another one. And I'm like, well, why are they taking advantage of it, you know? And then one day I'm like, well, why am I doing this? Why do I gotta help them? And why do I have to do it for all my pulls? And then I realized that a certain amount of individuals had tainted the water, that it was basically creating chaos in me. And literally, I was about to kind of do a crummy job on all these other pools just because of some individuals. And then once I kind of realized that, I said, hey, you know what? I got to keep an eye on these individuals that are taking. And once I see that first sign or second sign, then I'm going to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to help you up to this amount. And if I can't help you up to this amount, I'm sorry, I tried. It's not that I don't like you. It's not that there's something wrong with you or with me. No, it's just that in my boundaries, I could only go so far. And once this thing has met its ground, I'm sorry, we can't service your pool anymore. Or hey, you know what, guys? We really got to get this repair going, because I can't continue like this. And this is not being satisfying for me. It's not satisfying for you. And then the worst part is that I don't want a customer, or I don't want some relatives, or I don't want people going to my customer's house looking at the pool, and next thing you know, the pool looks super crummy. My customer tells his guest, hey, you know what? This company takes care of my pool. And then they see me from a negative perspective when I'm there cleaning the pool for 45 minutes trying to make things work, when in reality it's not my jobs, but it's the filters that weren't doing the best job, or the pump wasn't doing the greatest job. And just because I lacked the ability of wanting to have that confrontational moment where I was telling my customer, hey, you know what, guys, this is what's happening. I need this repair done, because the best job or the ability of how well I do my work is very much dependent on the ability of your system, your filter, your pump, and all that. Because if all these systems are not working very effectively, then I'm very much I'm very much not able to do the best job as possible in that pool, or I'm extremely limited on how much I could do as well too. But it goes into playing with a couple other things too and stuff. But yeah, another good thing, if I could mention a kind of shout out over there, also learn about your boundaries too. That's another thing that a lot of people kind of lack in, and that's another thing that I learned this year, the last year, is how to deal with boundaries and how to kind of acknowledge my boundaries first and foremost. Because before I was like, oh, I don't really have boundaries, and then it's like, well, why don't I have boundaries, you know? So if I could suggest, you know, reading that Boundaries book by Henry Cloud, super, super awesome book. He has another amazing books in that collection as well too, I guess you could say. And also just kind of checking out his podcast or YouTube, very insightful guy. He would literally have like the conversations in a way that I guess in my mind, he'll walk you through the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's powerful, man. I love that. I love how you mentioned about like not depleting your love tank, not being too much involved in people when that you see that pain and like you said, that ties into boundaries and boundaries. That's really good. I appreciate that, man. That's really, really great advice. One last question. How big is body language and tone of voice versus just the words they say? Because I've heard multiple studies that 93% of communication is body language and tone of voice, like those combined, like and then only like 7% is like the words you use. And I thought that was interesting, and it's really hard for me to like really realize that, or really hard for me to like really listen to like people's body language and then listen to their tone of voice versus just what they're saying, because I'm just like, you know, it's just, I don't know, it just, it's simple to just be like, okay, this is what they're saying, but really listening more so to like what their body language is saying, and then listen to what their tone of voice sounds like, whether it's, you know, whatever emotion. So like, what are your thoughts on that, and what, and do you agree with that 93% of communication is non-verbal basically, or not non-verbal, but only 7% is what you say?
Yeah, I completely agree with that, because it's one of those deals that, remember how we're talking about comedy and stuff like that, where we see something in the comedy thing that is absolutely rude, but everybody laughs at it, and you stand back and it's like, dang, dude, like, that's kind of crazy. I'm laughing at it because I've kind of done that in the past. That's why it gets hilarious. And when you look at it, it's like, yeah, not a lot of people do that. But then you're in the movie theater and everybody's laughing around, and then you start thinking like, wait, do all these people kind of do it too, you know? It's kind of like that, I guess you could say. But yeah, so basically your emotions, it's one of those deals that with body language, looks and everything, it's kind of, it does the same thing, because Hispanic people do it very much, where they sigh or they move and wave their hand in the air, I guess, when they're kind of upset and stuff like that, or when they get told to do something. But it's one of those deals that Hispanic people, in a way, they don't want to see it super crazy, like, oh, I don't want to do it or whatever. But then when I hunch down and I'm like, well, when have I done these emotions, or when have I kind of sighed in certain tones and stuff like that? And I'm like, well, if I sigh super loudly and like completely out of breath, it's not that I'm sighing like to be condescending or anything. Yes, I do have a condescending side eventually when I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. But in this other one, it was more like, oh, well, why do I have to do it? I'm upset or whatever. So if I know the difference of my own sights and what it means, but I don't verbalize it to people, then when I hear the same side, or when I see the same way that I sight, or the same tone or whatever, then I clicks back at it to me and saying, hey, you know what? That sigh sounds like when I'm pissed off. So if that sign is like when I'm pissed off, is he pissed off, or what's going on? Same thing with body language. It's like, you know, I didn't come from the greatest neighborhood or whatever. So it's one of those deals where people are communicating with me and stuff like that. You know, it's fine and everything, but I've seen people like that kind of are upset, or I don't know why they kind of clench their knuckles. And for me, that's a clear, I'm a very emotional guy, and I don't know why, but in that one time when I see their hands clenched down, my whole that, what do they call it when you say take flight or run? What do they call that reaction?
Fight or flight.
Yeah, that fight or flight. It actually kicks into my head. And instead of actually kind of taking flight, depending on the situation, my normal response to that is being super cocky and stuff like that, which is a bad thing. And it's one of those deals that it's just that ability of saying, you know, I see something that is trying to dominate me, and I'm like, oh no, I'm not gonna let you dominate me. And I kind of have that ability to kind of push through it. But then at the same retrospect, it's like, you know what, these are kind of all triggers that I notice now that I'm in this whole pool industry. When people do that, I can't obviously act super cocky in front of my customer or whatever. I just see it. I'm like, okay, my customer's upset. All right, maybe he's not upset at me. I'm making a big deal out of it because I think it's me. For all means, it could be the pump, it could be the water. I don't know at this point. So it's time for me to ask those questions, verify with them what is the cause. Because when I leave that pool, I don't want to leave and be like, oh, what the customer say? Oh, I think he's mad at me, or I think he was mad at me because this and this and this. No, once I'm done talking to him, once I'm done being that active listener and whatever, as soon as I'm closing that gate to the pool, bam, I'm done. I'm not thinking about that pool. I'm not worrying about the pool chemistry or whatever. Not necessarily that I'm not worried about the customer, but if he calls me back, hey, you know what? We're going to help you get this and this done. But once I close that pool, that doubt, that whatever negative feelings or communication or negative thoughts are coming to my head saying, oh, you messed up in this, whatever, those go out the door. And if they do come back, it's like, hey, you know what? I closed that door. These thoughts could come into my head. It could stay there, but I'm not going to pay attention. I'm letting it be. But that gives me the ability to kind of walk out of there and kind of keep my life as stress-free as possible, basically. Yeah.
I wanted to say before we go, I actually experienced, like, in another country when I was in Spain, like, I didn't even speak their language, and I had no communication with them, but we had, like, one of the best interactions ever. Like, we were just laughing with each other, and then I didn't even speak the language, but it was like, and I didn't understand one word what they were saying, and he didn't understand one word I was saying, but it was like one of the best interactions ever. So that brings, I agree 100% with what you were saying, like, with,
well, if you could take it out of, like, for example, if you could check it out too, like, for example, have you ever noticed when you go into a place that you'll see, like, a Hispanic person and an Asian person talking to each other, they won't talk the same language at all? Or if you see them on a job site with immigrants that they don't even talk the same language, you'll see them work together, they don't speak the same language, but they still get the job done. And that's one of the things that I tell people, is like, observe little things like that, pay attention to them, and ask yourself the question, it's like, how are they able to accomplish things if they're not able to communicate? Another time that I've seen that replicate is, like, for example, our churches. You know how sometimes we have churchgoers and sometimes they have a language barrier, mm-hmm. but we're able to communicate with grunts or showing them, like, shaking the object or pointing at it and grunting mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But we still get that thought across, and it's not by verbal. It's mostly by physical movement and by, you know, actions and whatnot. But we're able to get that point across. But it goes to that theory that necessarily you don't need to verbally communicate something, because your gestures, your looks, they will completely do that for you. And that's why I'm telling people that it's very important to kind of get your emotions in control, because if you're not having the greatest of day at work, and it happens to me quite a bit in my own personal life, is that if I'm not having a good day at work, or let's say somebody irritates me and whatnot, it takes me quite a while to kind of filter that out and let it out and not become toxic. Because there's been times where I show back at home and my wife's trying to, hey, Joe, how's it going and whatnot, and I have this crazy look, and my wife's like, oh, pauses, and she gets upset, or not necessarily upset, but she pauses, gets worried, and doesn't say anything. You know, I'm upset, I perceive that the wrong way, I'm like, oh my god, my wife didn't say hi to me, what's her problem? Now I'm upset at her, because, like, well, why is she mad at me? I'm the one that's mad and this and that, you know. But it creates a lot of chaos, because I'm not able to, I don't know what's going on with her. She doesn't know what's going on with me. We're both thinking that we're super pissed off. And at the end of the day, it could be a bigger storm than what it is. So what we started doing is a while back is saying, hey, you know what? Hey, I'm looking pretty upset now. I've had a couple of hours. I'm calm and serene. I'm able to communicate. But when I'm not able to do that, I straight up tell her, I walk through the door saying, hey, you know what? I didn't have the greatest day. So I'm struggling with this, this, and this today. It's not that I'm looking at you irritated. It's not that I'm having the greatest tone. Or if I have a foul tone, it's not you. It's just I'm struggling with my emotions. I'm struggling to calm back down. and reset myself, I'm sorry. But it's kind of being able to acknowledge that, being able to tell people around you that it's not them, and say, hey, you know what? I'm just struggling right now. Please kind of don't take it, my emotions or my way of communicating, don't take it too forefront forward, because there is times where people seem upset at another individual or the case or the subject or the topic, and it could not even be that. It could be completely something else that happened hours ago. But just because we don't want to slow down to clarify, or we are scared of that one uncomfortable conversation, that we kind of continue this non-ending cycle of hurt, and it just adds on for worse. So the best thing I could say is, like, you know your feelings, know your emotions. When you're around with people that you love, you care, and anything like that, be honest with them, saying, hey, you know what, right now I can't have this conversation, I'm dealing with this and this right now. Or there's times when we do Dave Ramsey and we do the budget, and I tell my wife, hey, you know what, it's 9 o'clock, I've seen that you're adding up, but they don't equate nothing in my brain right now. And I'm looking at it, and she's looking at me that, hey, you know, you deal with numbers, you deal with all these other crazy things, so why can't you think about it now? And I'm like, I'm just so tired. I'm just so mentally tired of the numbers and everything that my brain is not absorbing it. I'm seeing it, I'm not absorbing it, I'm not calculating. So it's one of those deals that I thought, hey, you know, give me an hour, or let's kind of schedule this for a separate day, because I want to be able to kind of listen to you appropriately, instead of saying, hey, you know what, let's do it. You're telling me all these things, and you're literally looking at my face puzzled, not wanting to be there. And next thing you know, my wife might think that, oh yeah, I don't care about the budget, or I don't care about her, or there could be a million things that goes across her head, which then if she doesn't verbally tell me that she's okay, then I do a good job of saying, oh my goodness, my wife's pissed off because I wasn't paying attention to when we were doing the budget and this and that. And next thing you know, for the next few days I'm struggling, and then next thing you know, we have like a small argument, we'll sit down, then we'll be like, hey, you know what's going on, or what happened that day, and we basically reset ourselves. But I think the best way is just to get it fixed as soon as possible and stuff like that, and kind of get it done. And that urgency to get it fixed as possible is also because in the Enneagram, I'm the number that wants to get everything done right then and there. I don't want to wait. It's just get it fixed, you know? But yeah.
I really appreciate it, Gio. It's been great conversation. And I hope you my audience, you guys learned something new. So thanks, Gio. I appreciate it, bro.
Oh, no problem, guys. You guys have a great day there, guys.
God bless, guys. Thanks.
Take it easy, guys.